This is Away, Indigenous Art and Culture on RN. Daniel Browning with you. Since Tracy Westerman began practicing as a psychologist, there's been a shocking escalation in self-harm and suicide in the northwest of Western Australia, which includes her Nyamal country in the Pilbara. Now, Dr. Westerman trains health professionals to work better and in a culturally appropriate way with Aboriginal clients who are at risk. She's been working for the past two decades to improve the way clinicians respond and to help them overcome the barriers to effective communication on both sides. Last year, Tracy was named Western Australian of the Year, which led to an automatic nomination for the National Award. And that National Award's been won in previous years by the late Dr. M. Yunupingu, by Mick Dodson and Adam Goods. For Tracy Westerman, being nominated is not just a personal honour, it's a professional opportunity.
It's one of those things that the work is most absolutely it's its own reward. I jump out of bed to work with my people to do this stuff every day. But what I've realised in the last month, or since November 22nd, it's taken on this life of its own, really. And then I went, you know what, Tracy, you've spent your whole life trying to communicate issues of suicide and mental health to the wider population because it is the most marginalised issue. We have children in our communities as young as 10 who are choosing the option of death instead of life, and most Australians don't know about that. So to me, the platform is something that needs a light shone on it. And, you know, but obviously, you know, I think West Australian of the Year is still pretty good. I'm still pretty wrapped with that. My name is Dr. Tracy Westerman. I am a psychologist from the Pilbara area of Western Australia. My traditional people are Nyamal from between Port Hedland and Marble Bar.
Now, Dr. Westerman, first off, I'd love to say congratulations to you for being Western Australia's Australian of the Year.
Thank you so much. It's actually really difficult still to get used to that title, to be honest, but a lovely recognition. It's been incredible.
Now, my understanding is that you've trained over 20,000 clinicians about cultural appropriate psychological approaches.
Yeah, that's a big title, isn't it?
quite intimidating title. What does it actually kind of boil down to?
I guess to make, and this is the difficulty, I guess, is trying to make something really complicated, really simple, but I'll have a go. When I first came down to study psychology, I noticed that, and mental health, psychology and I'll say mental health, that we were actually invisible as Aboriginal people in all the training and the textbooks and the treatments of best practice in stuff around assessment. And so no one was really trained in this concept of understanding Indigenous mental health and suicide. And so realistically, it was a major gap in the field. And I was also seeing that there was such an escalation in mental ill health and suicide in my communities, and mainstream psychology was not dedicating any time to understanding the reasons and the causes, and therefore they were realistically not training people appropriately and in a culturally safe manner to be able to go out into communities and make a difference to people in distress. So it was such a significant and obvious gap to me. So for me, I became quite passionate about dedicating time and energy to unlocking answers to questions that were fairly basic in relation to psychology and mental health that no one was really dedicating any time to.
What are some of those key areas that people were just missing?
I'll talk about my personal experience, I guess. As a psychologist, I was seeing, as a really great example, Aboriginal young people coming into me who had made a suicide attempt or had done something fairly dramatic to draw attention to themselves because they'd obviously been unwell for a while. What I knew was that the only way we could actually stop these issues is that we're able to screen these young people for early stages of risk and get in there and do early intervention prevention. The trouble was is that we didn't have any screening tools that had been developed from an Aboriginal view of suicide or mental ill health. So we didn't have that capacity to go in there and screen at an early stage and do early intervention work. So that was a major gap in the area. The other thing too, in terms of as psychologists, we need to be really good at engagement and getting in people's heads, if you like. And often, if you are from a different cultural background to the person that you're doing therapy or treatment or counselling with, often there's a disconnect that you don't understand someone's worldview. We call it empathy, or being able to walk a mile in someone's shoes to understand their pain and their reality. And so the basic core constructs of training wasn't providing clinicians with that understanding of how to do that and how to achieve that.
So I guess, so it'd be like somebody who's just kind of rocked up into town and expects you to spill your guts.
Exactly. Exactly. You need to have trust and rapport. It's really difficult. I mean, I know I've done a lot of training, so I've got a fairly good cross-section. And for a good example is you'll get a non-Aboriginal female who says, well, I have to go up to the Kimberley and do counselling with an Aboriginal male who's been through law or ceremony. There are so many cultural barriers that impact on your capacity to hear the story. And so, so many of those things, I need to teach people how to get through all of those barriers in order to get to the person and get to the pain. And that's actually really quite challenging to do.
Something that is discussed quite a lot when it comes to mental health and well-being for Aboriginal people is there's often a discussion about loss of culture or lack of culture and language, and that's not entirely... Well, it's a different situation in somewhere like the Pilbara.
Yeah.
So what are some of the actual challenges where you're working?
It's quite interesting. It's a great story. I actually don't like that term loss. And the reason why is because we haven't lost our culture. In some parts of Australia, it just looks different. So I think what we also know is that those Aboriginal people with a strong, robust sense of cultural identity have the best mental health outcomes. So what I've actually done as part of my development of unique tools is I've developed a tool that enables clinicians to understand how the individual has made sense of their cultural identity and how we can then target or, if you like, incorporate the development of a really strong cultural identity within our treatment, because ultimately each individual Aboriginal person makes sense of culture in their own way. So you could have someone in the Pilbara who has, you know, arguably more capacity to learn about culture, but you can also have someone in Sydney that has a real desire and motivation around learning about their culture, and that's just something that's within us as Aboriginal people. So often by sort of, you can't really see that where someone's geographically located, that culture isn't necessarily important to them. So what we do is we actually teach clinicians how to engage with people at a level of cultural identity and then figure out the individual desire to understand and learn more. And facilitate, you know, cultural strength, if you like, if that's what people are desiring. I see so much negativity around our people, and I kind of wake up and, you know what, most days I feel pretty good about being Aboriginal, actually. Thank you very much. And I know lots of my relations do and a lot of my people do, and I know that I have been to probably 30-something communities, and those people love being on those communities. They're resilient, they're robust. So I think often there's some really interesting stuff around if you tell someone often enough. Environment is critical to mental health outcome. If you tell someone often enough that they are they're not going to be a high achiever, then of course they're going to believe that. It's called a self-fulfilling prophecy. So we know that there's science around this, that if you set the bar really low, then people are going to hit those low expectations. So I gave this in my West Australian acceptance speech. I made this a comment, and I said that, you know, as Aboriginal people, we don't underachieve because we're told to set our goals too high and fail to hit those. It's that often our environment tells us to set our goals really low and we inevitably hit those. And what happens is we cultivate environments of low expectations rather than high expectations. And so for me, I'm incredibly passionate about this, not just from the perspective of mental health and suicide, but also I want, for example, an Aboriginal person or a young female or someone from the bush who has all these voices of low expectations around them to pick up the newspaper and see someone like me and go, yeah, I can achieve that.
Dr. Tracy Westerman, a psychologist working in suicide prevention in Indigenous communities and WA Australian of the Year. She was speaking with Away's Rudy Bremer.